I started dating, or it wasn't even when I started.
So, like, a year ago?
Yeah. when I first downloaded Bumble, my dad, I think he just had a hard time wrapping his mind around the idea that his daughter was, like, first of all, dating, but trying to be on a dating app, too. I remember he was like, I mean, can't you just meet people some other way? And I was like, I mean, Dad, I'm pretty introverted, so I don't know really what you mean. And he said, well, maybe there's, like, a club you could join that's just, like, an introvert's club.
That's like an extrovert.
That literally doesn't exist, because that's the worst fucking idea ever. Because we wouldn't be having it. We just would not be
Nobody would show
having
up.
It. Nobody would show up. If all of my friends were automated systems, I would be totally fine with that.
What if I was just like Alexa and you had a podcast with a robot?
Alexa? Oh, yes, Alexa. I feel like Alexa's kind of dumb.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's the smartest of the robots.
Siri and I don't get along. I was once lonely in the car. I was on a long drive and I did try and have a conversation with Siri. I was trying to get her to talk to me about history and politics and stuff, and she just kept saying, I found these results for you on the web. And I was like, I can't, you know.
I can't talk to you, Siri.
I can't even talk to you, Siri. Siri's a bitch.
I'm Amanda Sox, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
I notice that you've got a bloodshot eye.
I do?
Yeah. This eye right here.
Oh my god.
I mean,
what?
It's fine. It's not like you're dying. I was just gonna commiserate. You know what a bloodshot eye looks like, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know I had one on my face.
It's not
What would that be from?
I don't know, but I was gonna tell you, my left eye, so your left eye is the bloodshot one. My left eye has been twitching all day. Why is that? Also, are we psychically connected?
I can't stop thinking about Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Just when you keep saying left eye. Oh my god, that's freaking me out now.
The winking doesn't fix it.
When I was in Costa Rica, you know how we thought that I was, like, dead from the waist down? Like, emotionally, but also physically?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like, never was I considered really, like, a sexual being.
Person, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My friend Jamie, who I met there, and I've told you about how all of them in Costa Rica were, like, very body-loving, and they really felt like I was a sexual creature that was just waiting to be tapped.
It just
hadn't, this hadn't been tapped yet. and my friend Jamie gave me this peppermint essential oil. He was like, take some of this peppermint oil, and I want you to go back to the shipping container. I want you to put a little bit of it on your nipples.
Oh my god.
And just see, this will show you that your body is alive. Like, it wasn't going to even be, like, a positive, like, you're gonna go have a experience with yourself, anything like that.
I love that you had to choke your way through.
So I was like, okay, this is nuts. I'm not gonna do that. But later, just for, like, curiosity's sake, I'm gonna put the little bit of peppermint oil on my hands. And I go to start to apply it, but I don't think about it, and I rub my eye.
Leah, why? Leah.
It made me wink in a really awkward way for, like, for over 24 hours. And I was just winking. People were just like, Leah, you look dumb.
Or
winking.
Or did it make it seem as though the peppermint oil worked and you were, like, overly aroused and winking at everyone? I didn't think that's how it would work, but I guess anything will...
I mean, I don't know if the peppermint oil worked because it never made it to its intended destination. It just made it to my eyeball.
Okay, so you went to this place in Costa Rica and met all these people for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, somehow, because you weren't there a super long time, I feel like I'd never tell you to rub peppermint oil on your nipples, but these people felt close enough to you. Like, how did you have to have, like, icebreaker games to get to know each other first? Or
nope, they went straight to the nipples. No, I mean, I was really, really awkward, even with these people who were very, like, open and loving and receptive. It still took me a relatively long time
mm-hmm.
to really connect with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just so awkward. So the other day, there was Nate's sister-in-law had a baby shower.
Okay.
And so I'm going to this baby shower, and I don't know a single person that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm being introduced to everybody, and this is my literal
nightmare,
worst nightmare, right?
Yeah. I mean, I introduced you to one person and I'll never live it down.
Fuck you, Amanda. That was the worst. I mean, this girl comes up because she wants to meet you, and you're doing the smiling and you're doing the engaging thing, and I just feel like a barnacle on your side. I'm just standing there and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I literally do not know what to do. Every time a new person comes up to me that I have never met before, it is the first time that I am ever having to try and figure out how to deal with a person.
Right.
It is the first one. I have never done it before. I have no learned skills.
Right.
Every time is a new time. It's like the movie Memento. You said something like about how I was very funny. It was so awkward.
So
it was
sorry
terrible.
To compliment you.
Well, it's just funny when you say that I'm funny.
Yeah.
But I just stood there like a flaccid, lifeless lump of a human being with nothing to contribute whatsoever. That's and then I
pressure.
Just
and then leave immediately.
I just got the fuck out of Dodge because that's what I do. Like, the best possible diet situation
uh-huh.
for me would be to just put all the food on the other side of a room full of people. Yeah. And there's no
fucking
way. You'll
never get there, yeah.
I would starve. I never know. Like, what's the code? Is there a rule? If you have met somebody
mm-hmm.
and you remember meeting them, but they clearly do not remember you,
mm-hmm.
what do you do?
I would say it depends on who the person is and what I want to deal with in the moment. You know what I mean?
Like the girl, like that girl mm-hmm. that you introduced me to, I don't really think that she would remember meeting me. I don't land with people.
Well, it's because you left immediately. You said nothing and left.
Well, one time we were at the theater and we were in the lobby. And it was maybe the stage manager or the education person, somebody who worked at the theater. Megan? Does that sound like a person? Megan? No? It was somebody that was pregnant.
Mallory. Who listens to our podcast.
Hi, Mallory. You probably don't remember me. But I'm standing with Jay, and the two of them started interacting, and I don't know if there was an assumption maybe made that I knew who it was or that she knew who I was, but they start talking, and the topic that they immediately go into is her nipples.
I'm sorry, what?
She was talking about breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
and that's a weird conversation
mm-hmm.
to just be standing there. They're making, you know, breastfeeding banter. And
no.
I stood there and I don't even think we ended up being introduced. Clearly, because I didn't remember her name.
One, if that were me in that breastfeeding conversation and I had no idea what was going on, I would have probably made some joke about it. Like, well, I can't contribute anything, but my name is Amanda, and I'm also here. But as soon as I can break the ice in some type of, like, joking fashion, but then that becomes, like, a whole thing in and of itself. Like, I'm just Jokey McJokerson, it's fine. But really, I'm like, I'm sad, and I don't want to talk to anyone. There's just multiple layers of performance at any given moment, is why I'm exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, like, if there's somebody else like me that I could start a conversation with and be like, huh, so we're both losers, huh? Then maybe I'll do that.
In the road trip, that was a perfect example of, like, 46 states worth of opportunity for me to figure out how to start a fucking conversation with a stranger.
Yes.
And I was with somebody, and Nina, my friend, well, she's from Norway, but my friend who I met in Costa Rica who came to the States to go on the road trip with me, she's soft-spoken, mm-hmm. but she's extroverted. She's okay with meeting new people. I remember the first time we were in a bar, mm-hmm. and we're standing around with this group of people, a group of strangers, and there's this guy who I see, and I think he's kind of cute, and he's got this shirt on, and the shirt says, University of Illinois Percussion, and I'm like, ding, 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 because a few things. Illinois. He's a musician. Yeah. He's from Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got some stuff that I can work with here. Mm-hmm. And so I brought up the t-shirt. I said, did you go to U of I for percussion? And he was like, oh no, I got this at Goodwill.
Oh.
Shut down. Within 5 minutes, he was making out with Anina at the table.
Oh, come on.
And then his friend, who I can only... In my mind, I remember him as being very Shrek-like.
Oh, nice.
Maybe he was just sort of portly and dressed in all green. But he was standing there, and I was standing there, and Anina and his friend are making out. And he said to me, so, this is boring. What do you think I did? How do you think I responded?
Made out with him. What?
I turned around and left. Are you crazy? Are you serious? Called an Uber and I left my friend at the bar.
Oh, God.
And
did you hug him when you left?
Oh, God. The hug situation. Going to the baby shower.
Yeah.
It was Nate's relatives.
Right. So they're like, hey, welcome.
Yes. You know, they were like, good to see you. And mm-hmm. they kind of wanted to do the hug.
You're weird about hugging new people, like, even if they're like, hey, welcome to the family kind of thing. Right?
Yes.
Like, baby showers are huggy places anyway. Everybody's just like, oh, yay, life.
Yeah, because it's a bunch of women. Yeah. And so there's pink stuff everywhere. Yeah.
Or blue stuff. Or just, like, pastels.
True.
What is the level, like, the security clearance in which you will hug people?
Willingly?
Yeah, when you greet them or say goodbye or whatever.
I mean, what do you mean the security clearance?
How close do they have to be to you? You won't do it to a stranger, even if they're, like, kind of...
Relationally, how close do they have to be to me? I would hug you, probably.
Maybe.
Debatable. My friends, James and Virginia, they do a thing where they know I hate hugging. James trying to give me some hugging lessons. He tried to give me some hugging etiquette because I was just panicked about this. And he was sort of like my life coach. And he was...
Just about hugging? He was your life coach?
Hugging and meat.
Okay, great. Meat and hugging.
He was giving me some hugging tips. It was going badly.
Mm-hmm.
They like to do a thing where they kind of double team me.
Oh, no. And you're the middle of the sandwich?
It's hug rape.
Oh, no.
It's hug rape is what it is.
Oh, no.
But they're like, they're double teaming me, and they're coming from both sides,
mm-hmm.
and it's awful. Even though I love them, and it's funny, and I get that it's funny, but it's also hug rape.
So that makes me want to ask you, how do you feel about tickling?
Nate tried to tickle me the other day. I wasn't really, I just gotta be in the mood. To be tickled?
To be ticklish? Are you ticklish?
I just gotta be in the mood to be ticklish. You know?
I don't, but you sound very Canadian right now.
I'm gonna
be in the mood to be tickled, you know?
I always am ticklish on the bottom of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're getting a pedicure and they try to do the scrub thing on the mm-hmm. bottom of the feet, I'm always about to kick some Korean person in the face.
Mm-hmm. You're always about to kick the pedicurist?
The pedicurist in the face. Then that's a pedicure. That's another nightmare, talking to a stranger situation.
I hate when they ask me questions.
Yeah, I know, because usually, sometimes I can't understand what they're asking, and then I just say, yeah, because that's what I do when I don't understand.
You just, like, smile.
I just smile and nod, uh-huh. and I am like, I have no idea what the fuck I just...
And then all of a sudden you have diamonds on your toes.
In freshman year of college, I had this friend, Carlos, and he had an afro.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he looked a lot kind of like a dorky Justin Guarini type. Okay,
great.
And I was in school one day, and there were a bunch of people waiting at the elevators, and I was coming down the hallway, and I saw him, and his back was to me, and I decided that I was going to run up, and I was going to, like, bear tackle him, like, bear hug him.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I did, but it turned out to not be him.
Whoa.
It turned out to be somebody that I didn't know.
Whoa.
And also, he was, like, one of the most popular kids in the school. He was, like, a jazz trumpet player.
Yeah.
And I just tackled him. And he didn't know me. And so, then I was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I thought...
You hug-raped him.
I just hug-raped him. I said to him, you know, oh, my God, I'm like, so sorry. I thought you were somebody else. And he was like, oh, no, it's, like... No worries, it's okay.
It happens all the time.
There were onlookers that were kind of like looking at me like I was strange. This would be a great situation for me to be able to turn and just go away from uh-huh. that situation. But we were about to get in an elevator.
Ooh.
And so then we're riding in the elevator up, but he has to get off the elevator first. So I'm standing in front of him. And so he kind of says like, excuse me, and kind of goes to get out of the elevator and work his way around me, and what comes out of my mouth is, don't worry, I'm not gonna touch you again.
I love a good consensual hug.
See, here's the thing. I can get into a hug situation, but then I don't know how to ramp off of the hug situation.
So you're just stuck in the hug?
I'm stuck, because I'm like, oh, are they hugging me because they think I still want to be hugging them, and they really want to let me go, but like they're just doing it. I always am. What it is I'm paranoid that the other party is sort of like hug obliging me, or they're like pity hugging me
mm-hmm.
because they just don't want to let go.
Accept the hug.
I can't accept the hug that they may actually be wanting.
It just means you need a hug.
Me, no. It sounds like I needed a lot of therapy. Therapy, but, like, with a healthy distance. What about the situation where, like, you've said goodbye,
mm-hmm.
but then something happens and you're still there? But you already said goodbye.
Oh, God.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, no, yeah, I really lean into awful. Just naming that. Well, it used to always happen in college. You would leave a particular dining hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidewalk would fork. So you'd always say goodbye to people. And there's one of those, like, triangular kiosks
mm-hmm.
with, you know, posters for juggling lessons or whatever. So you would, as you entered the fork, you'd be like, okay, bye. You hug the person. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But then you walk, and the fork has widened. But then you're past the kiosk. And you're still only, like, 5 yards away from each other. So it's very obvious. You're, like, you're almost walking parallel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But you've already said goodbye.
Oh, my God. The parallel walk. That's even worse than when you're stuck in a location.
Right.
And it's extended and you're standing, mm-hmm. you know, together is a parallel walk.
Parallel walks are so awkward. I usually just name it.
I think there's, like, the meeting people or the, like, the introduction or the salutation, putting yourself out there thing, and the road trip, I think those two things are very tied together mm-hmm. with me because of the fact that every, you know, every few days we were on new ground.
Mm-hmm.
And refresh. Mm-hmm. New people, and new bars, new social situations. So we did 36 states in the road trip. In 36 states, I did not get a single guy to kiss me or flirt with me. And it did highlight to me, like, a very real, very palpable social anxiety, social awkwardness,
mm-hmm.
because that's the kind of thing that it was like, okay, maybe this is a muscle that I can build and I can start flexing. Like, maybe I can, you know, I can put peppermint oil on my boobs and then maybe I'll start putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. But every single time I would do that, it just would be met with that, like, anxious vibration. There was the guy in Vermont, the one that said, man, this is
Shrek,
boring Shrek guy. Yeah. And then we were in San Francisco camping.
San, what's the name of that town?
There are several Sans.
Yeah, but, like, none of them are like San Francisco.
Okay, well, there's several Sans. That one was a Comic San. oh, God. And so there were these two guys, and they were in the camping site that was right next door, right next to us where we parked our car. They were there to go hunting. And they had set up, they were going to play beer pong on the picnic table. I had never played beer pong before. And Nina was like, let's go do it. Two of those guys, me and Nina. And we were drinking beers and stuff like that, and there's this one guy who's talking to me, and I thought, oh, this is kind of going well, and I'm kind of relaxed, and this is fun. We're nature. I don't feel awkward like I would in a bar, because I shut down and I don't do well at all in places that are loud or crowded or where people are standing above me when I'm sitting. But anyways, I was talking to this guy, and he was very generously offering to show us around San Francisco the next day. Like, yeah, here, let me give you my number. Seriously, just give me a text tomorrow if you want a tour guide. Like, I would love to show you around. And I'm thinking, this is, like, I think this was a kind of a, I mean, it's not a date, but it's a guy giving me a phone number. That's mm-hmm. a new thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me what I had to write his number down. All I had was a postcard from Alcatraz. So he wrote his number out on the back. And so the next day, he and his friend, I guess, had gotten up real early and gone hunting. And later in the day, Nina and I were in the city, and I texted him something like, how did hunting go this morning? Still interested in showing a couple of girls, you know, around the city of lights. And I didn't say city of lights, but the city around today. And I get back a text, and it says, there were no deer in the area.
Okay.
And that's all that it said.
Did you write back?
No. What was I going to write back to that?
Like, oh.
It was, like, so very apparent that I was getting blown off.
You should have texted back, well, there's two ladies in this area.
Ding, ding. That's, like, the San Francisco trolley sound. And Anina, she had no problem with this. Guys, girls, she was just so good at navigating this and putting, like, a low premium on the meeting people. And so the stakes were lower, and that makes her all the more confident. And for me, it's like the stakes are just, like, insane through the roof with me. Plus, I'm reminding myself of the fact that the stakes are so high, yeah. which are just, it's just perpetuating the cycle.
Yeah.
But I did feel something mm-hmm. for the first time
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, the feelings, like the butterflies.
Down under? Oh, sorry, just butterflies. Got it.
Well, I'm not going to say down under.
That's fine. You don't have to say down under.
Just the butterflies.
I will. Okay, yeah. Butterflies. Great.
Well, the thing is that it was, the place where it was in fertile Iowa.
Heyo.
This guy that was an Airbnb owner, it was an old, like, creamery that was, like, a billion years old, and he had restored it and turned it into a house, and he had chickens, and he had floor-to-ceiling stacks of books, and he had great furniture, and he had a tuba, and he had, you know, just all these things. It was like Leah's brain just, like, exploded all over a house, and I was just like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. And he had a beard, and I find this person very attractive. When I say the feelings, I mean, this is a person, I find you attractive.
Yes.
And Nina kind of ducked out of the room, because she was kind of like trying to maybe nudge something along, I guess she thought. And so she, like, went to bed early. We stayed up all night. We talked about the best stuff. We looked at the map. We talked about all these Native American massacres and genealogy, and just were really hitting it off. And he gave me a list of places we needed to go. And he gave me his phone number again. And there was this one place where he said it was his idea of like heaven on earth, and it was this waterfall in Idaho, and, you know, there was no directions to it, like, you had to know how to get there. And so he gave me his number so that I would be able to let him know if I had any questions or something. So a couple days later, we're in Idaho. We didn't end up going to the waterfall, but he texted me out of nowhere and said, so, you know, did you find the waterfall, or how did it go, or something like that? And so to get, like, a text message from a guy, I just didn't know what to do at all. And I said something to Anina, and Anina was like, flirt, Leah, flirt, like, see, do a thing, like, flirt back, say something to him, don't ignore his text. And so I typed the first thing that, that I thought of, because Anina was like, thank him for the suggestion.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you for being the steward of fruitful experience.
Oh my God. Oh God. Did he ever respond?
No.
Okay.
Steward of fruitful experience. That was my first time really text flirting.
It's really a miracle you're not alone right now.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
Have you ever been to the Dollar Tree?
Of course I've been to the Dollar Tree.
Everything is a dollar.
Who do you think I am?
I've never been to the Dollar Tree before. Right. I went to the Dollar Tree for the first time this week.
In your life?
Dollar
you
before.
Rich, privileged bitch. Hey, Leah.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, where are we on the internet?
We're all over the internet.
Heyo. You think we're funny and you want to follow us on social media and tell all of your friends about us.
Or you hate our guts and you just want to say mean things.
It's still advertising, right? You can find us on Facebook at The Nervous Record. We're also on Twitter at The Nervous Record.
You can also find us on Instagram at The Nervous Record.
That's awesome. Hey, rate, subscribe, and like us. That's
not in
do.
That order, I don't think.
You like,
subscribe. SRL.
What? Subscribe, rate, and like?
Yeah, I don't think that's an actual acronym, but okay, we could just make it one.
Hey, SRL us, bitches.